Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 32, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Golgotha, Place of the Skull. Golgotha, Place of the Skull. Now, when we read in the New Testament and we read in the Gospels, in several Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find as we read the story and as the crucifixion comes nearer, we see a place that's written called Golgotha. Now, when we went to Israel, Yolanda and I, for the first time, we got to see that place. It's a true geographical place. And then 2 years ago, we took Amazing Grace with us, and we saw it for ourselves again. Amen? And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to look how significant this place was. Because in Israel, they said, no, Jesus was crucified over here, or Jesus was crucified over there. But even the scientific evidence proves and points to where the garden tomb is, right? Not even, what, 100 yards or less than that? 50 yards maybe? Is Golgotha's skull. And we're going to take a look at that. Amen? So let's read these scriptures. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put on his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. Bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him. Purple, a very significant color. We're going to look at this. And put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. Now, let me just say this. There's never an instance in life that it's a coincidence. For us believers, it is the providence of God. It's always a divine appointment for you and I. We have to have ears to hear and eyes to see. That there is no coincidence in life. That's for the unbelievers. That's for those who cannot see what we see. But everything God has purposed in our life. Because he has, before the foundation of the world, he has already ordered our footsteps. Can I get amen? So, these characters just didn't happen to pass by. God placed them there. Can I get amen? And so, verse 22, and they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated a place of a skull. So there it is. This is where I got the title for this evening. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Verse 25, now, it was the third hour. We're going to look at this too. The third hour. Now, in the Hebrew time, the third hour is 9 a.m. So mark that down. Make a mental note of that. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. With him, they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Verse 29, and those who passed by blasphemed him. Look at this, wagging their heads and saying, aha! You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Obviously, these people had no relationship with him. They probably followed him around, and they probably thought that all the healings that took place was just a circus show to them. But they didn't. They couldn't comprehend that he was the Son of God to ultimately die for their sins. And so they are mocking him. Save yourself. Come down from the cross. Verse 31, likewise, the chief priests also mocking. So all of them, they were all colluded together. It was a conspiracy. They all gathered to corner him, to mock him, and to kill him. Mocking him among themselves with the scribes said, hey, he saved others. He himself cannot save. Let me just say this, saints. If he wanted to send just one legion of angels, it would have wiped out the entire nation of Israel. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him, look at this, reviled him. What? We're going to look at that. So, are we ready? Let's go. Verse 18, 19. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted crown of thorns, and they put it on his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. So not only did they beat him, they spit on him. My goodness. Bowing the knee, and they worshiped him. They were mocking him. So saints, someone found a purple robe and threw it around the shoulders of this supposed king, as they were calling him. And someone else with a brutal sense of humor twisted long, sharp thorns into a crown that was jammed onto his head, similar to this. And they went right into his skin, mocking him at the same time. Matthew added that they put a stick in his hand like a king's scepter. Look what it says here in Matthew. It says, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. Let me just say this. If someone's listening to this message and you go into eternity as an unbeliever, you will stand before this king that was mocked 2,000 years ago, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. Can I get amen? This is a serious matter. This is a serious mocking, but God allowed it. It had to be this way. And let me just say this. No one took his life. Can I get amen? He laid his own life down. And so they beat him, striking him on the head. They insulted him by spitting on him and kneeling down and mock worship. They were mocking. Yet even all this, did you know that this was already prophesied? Thousands of years before he came on the scene. Look what Isaiah says right up here. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. So it was prophesied thousands of years that when Jesus came, he had to endure it. Look what it says in Isaiah 52:14. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. In other words, he took on a beating like no other man in history. Come on, a cat of 39 cat of tails, which would go in and claw. It would just like claw right into the skin, and skin would be yanked out of him. My goodness. No one ever, and he endured it. And he didn't die right there. He endured it all the way up to Golgotha's skull. We're going to look at this. Look at Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. When the time came, everyone turned from him and were mocking him, except his mother and the disciples. Some that were there and some that ran. But in their heart, they knew he was an innocent man. So let's go now to verse 20, back in Mark. And it reads, And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Saints, after having their fun, the soldiers took off purple robes and put it on Jesus, on his own clothes again. Then he was taken out to be crucified. Now, probably only four soldiers under the command of an officer actually went out to the site to perform the execution, because John mentions that the soldiers at the cross divided his clothing among the four of them. So let's look what John says about this. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each a soldier a part. So the Bible testifies there was four of them. Four of them. I pray that they had repented when the Holy Ghost was poured out and the church, the ecclesia, the birth of the church then came forth, and then salvation came to the Gentiles. Man, I pray that these Roman soldiers repented and gave their heart. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, why did they mock him with purple? You have to ask yourself, why purple? Why not blue? Why not white? Right there, purple. Purple in the Old Testament, it means priesthood, kingship, royalty, mediator, and wealth, which he was. He was. You got to remember, he was the Son of God that came to be with us. He left his throne to be with us. This is what he left. He left all the royalty. My goodness. Look what Judges talks about. Talks about this color right here. Look at this. Right up here. Now, the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,007 shekels of gold, besides crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes. So even back in the times of the judges, purple was royalty. And yet they used it as a mockery. Shame on them, huh? Listen, nothing has changed in 2,000 years. I hope you know that. There's still people that mock the Lord. There's still people that mock us when our back is turned. They may not have enough gall to say it to our face, which we would just have to turn the cheek out. It's okay. But the day of judgment will come, despite of your position. But they mock us. They mock the saints of God. Why? Because they think we're better than them, and we're not. We're just saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, heaven bound, and now we have a hell to shun. Can I get amen? We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So, saints, colonies of Jews existed outside of Judea. And so let's look at verse 21. We're back in Mark 15. Let's look at 21. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And he was coming out of the country, passing by, to bear his cross. As I mentioned earlier, this was not a coincidence. This was a divine appointment. Because at that time, Jesus had enough strength to make it up the hill, but he had slipped and he fell, and the cross slipped his hands. And this Cyrenian came and helped him pick up his cross. My goodness. Listen, this man is forever going to be blessed because he's mentioned in the Word of God. Anytime someone is mentioned and written, the Bible says the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. So God already put a period on it, and he crossed a T and he dotted a dot. It's done. So if you err to the wrong side, you will be mentioned. You will be mentioned. But if you walk in God's grace and God notices something that is so prominent that he shouts it from the mountaintop, and that your name is echoed throughout heaven through eternity. My goodness, that's the side I want to be on. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, the colonies of Jews existed outside of Judea. Simon was from Cyrene in northern Africa and was either on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover, because that's when thousands would come to the Passover feast, or he was originally from Cyrene, but resided in Palestine. But we get a clue right here in Acts. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, came. So the Bible gives us a clue where this gentleman came from. And he was there at the right time, at the right place. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let me just say this. The day that you gave your heart to Jesus, it was the right day, the right time, the right hour, the right minute, the right second. God did not make a mistake with us. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, saints, his two sons, Alexander and Rufus, are mentioned as if Mark's readers in Rome knew. And so Paul mentions it in Romans. Look at this. So it had to be the same Rufus, because right here in Romans it says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Saints of God, let me just say this. When we repented and we gave our hearts to God, our name was echoed throughout heaven. And he wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And guess what? Nothing can rescind that. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What's written is written for us. It is sealed for us. Thank you, Jesus. And so, if so, saints, this could mean that Simon became a Christian through his incident, meaning his good deed. God remembered him. Strong possibility. And Simon, on his way into the city, was randomly picked out of the crowd and forced to carry Jesus' cross. It wasn't coincidence, was it? So let's go back to Mark 15:22. And they brought him to a place, Golgotha, which is translated a place of a skull. Wow, place of a skull. So, saying, some scholars say Golgotha, translated Skull Hill, derived its name from its appearance, a hill with a stony top that might have been shaped like a skull. Now, saints of God that went to Israel a couple of years ago, do you remember this? Okay, so this shot on this side of the fence is the Garden Tomb. And at the far right, you kind of see two eyes and a nose all the way to the far right. Do you see that? Well, here's a closer shot right here. And so right above that is where they crucified him. Is where they crucified our Lord. And now, you know, other Christian religions believe that he was crucified somewhere in the old city. But that's not geographically, scientifically, biblically, it doesn't match. But this one does. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And by the way, the Garden Tomb Institute, when you go there, they read out of the Word of God. They don't show you relics and they don't show you pictures. And no, if you go to the place in Jerusalem, all you see is a bunch of statues and relics and people in pompous robes and these big old hats. And, you know, it's like, man, you go in there, you think, this looks like 2,000 years ago. No. God said, do not have any engraven images. Can I get an amen? It was in the Ten Commandments, and that word still stands today. Praise God. Now, this is the Garden Tomb. And you're able to, let me see if I could point this. Can you see the pointer? Right there, you're allowed to walk in there. And there's a sign in there that says, he is not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus rose again? So the distance, oops, let me go back. The distance from here to there, it's only about maybe 50 yards. So it only makes sense that when they took him down, there was a tomb already prepared for him. They didn't have to go miles and miles and miles to find a tomb. It was right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen? Amen. And so let's go now to verse 23 in chapter 15. And it says, and they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. Listen, he laid his life down. He endured the cross. He endured the shame, the mockery, the pain. He didn't need no sedative. He didn't need to be numbed up. He didn't need, anesthesia? He didn't need none of that because he was a man's man. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he endured the cross for you and I. Thank you, God. So, saints, wine that was mixed with myrrh was offered to Jesus to help reduce his pain. Myrrh is generally understood to be a narcotic that was used to deaden pain. So tradition says women of Jerusalem prepared and offered this drink to condemn men, the men that were condemned. This also may allude to Psalms 69. Look at this, what it reads in Psalms. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So when you mix this bitter wine, this fermented horrible wine mixed with myrrh, it becomes gall. It's called gall. And it's the most hideous thing. I've heard our tour guide in Israel, Ito, because they still make that for medicinal purposes in Israel. It's called gall. And the whiff of it is like, oh my gosh, you don't want to smell that again. It's horrible smelling. It, because it's almost like 50 to 60 day old fungus that's been just cultivating. My goodness. I won't go any further on that one. I could think of a whole lot of things that smell like that. But Jesus refused to drink it. He chose to suffer fully, conscious, and with a clear mind. Can I get amen? When it was time to give up the ghost, he gave it up. He bowed his head down. Father, I commend my spirit unto you. My goodness. We'd be, oh man, come on. Give me some pain medicine. I need it now. So let's go back to chapter 15, verse 24. And when they crucified him, they divided his garment, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. So it talks about the garments that were divided. And Mark's words are simple and direct, saints. They nailed him to the cross. And so indeed, Mark's Roman readers needed to elaborate description. They knew it all too well. Crucifixion instituted by the Romans was a feared and shameful form of execution. It was shameful. Death came by suffocation as the person lost strength and the weight of the body made breathing more and more difficult. So they nailed him specifically so that all the weight can collapse the lungs and you would suffocate up there. And this is why if a person was very strong and he would not die up there, they would take these big, huge boards and they would break the knees so that the whole body would collapse then, and then suffocation would come more quickly. So that was the pain medicine. Big giant boards to the knees to collapse them. Wow. Jesus did it all for us, saints. So contrary to the discreet paintings of the crucifixion, Jesus was crucified naked. Did you know that? Listen, we've seen all the movies, you know, Passion of the Christ, The King of Kings, you know, there's so many of them. But he always had a terry cloth on. You know, and he was up there, you know, bloodied up a little bit. But the Bible says, and Isaiah, and also Jewish scholars that were there at the time as eyewitnesses like Josephus. Josephus is a credible witness. Now, there's no writings of Josephus in the Bible, but there's historical documents that were found and dug up in Israel on Josephus. And he wrote in some of his writings that he was so beaten up, naked on the cross, that you couldn't tell his gender no more. Everything was ripped and torn. He was like hamburger meat up there. This is why the Bible says when they looked upon him, they turned. It was the most hideous thing to see. But he did it for you. He did it for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So even Psalms 22 says, they divide my garments among and offer the clothing, they cast lots. So thousands of years prior to Jesus' crucifixion, it was prophesied. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. So let's go back now to Mark 15 and verse 25. Now, it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, the King of the Jews. A total mockery, saints. Listen, when he came on the scene, his ministry began at the age of 30. There's something unique about the age of 30. And I'm just speaking on my behalf, because I can't speak for no one else. I don't know what day, age you were when you got saved. But for me, I praise God, I got saved when I was 32. So, 30 years old. And there's something unique about that, because when I got saved at the age of 30, he radically changed me. Can I get amen? It was the Holy Ghost that got a hold of my heart, and the things of the world, I did not desire them no more. Matter of fact, the thing that was such a mystery to me, and it was a mystery to all of my 11 brothers and sisters. I come from a big family. 11 brothers and sisters. You know probably Brother G, and that's probably about it. But I got 9 others, 10 others. Hallelujah. Sister Yolanda knows them all. And majority of them are not saved. But one thing that was so unique, the moment I received the Holy Ghost, he reached into the depths of my soul, and this is what he deleted. And let me just say this. He just didn't delete it from the file that was embedded in me. He even deleted the trash bin. You know, on a computer, you can delete things but retrieve them. He deleted the trash bin, and the thing that just baffled many, and including me, he took away my foul language like that. I couldn't even come out and say those words no more. They just wouldn't come out. It was like I had no memory of those things, and they wouldn't come out no more. Hallelujah. That, you know, that's when God gets a hold of you, I'm telling you, he does it from the inside out. Can I get amen? Man, he gives you a new walk, a new talk. He gives you a new life. Hallelujah. He gives you a love for him. Thank you, God. Only he can do that. Come on. A lot of us in here have all B.C. Stories. Can I get amen? B.C. meaning before Christ. And yet, we can all testify. Matter of fact, Brother G shared with me. He says, hey, we need to do a Wednesday night. Invite all kinds of people and come and listen to the testimonies of what God has done for us. Remember we did that? We did that about 7 years ago. Man, this place was packed out. Man, we were here, but it went a little long. But man, I'll tell you, it was worth every minute. You know why? Somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to hear my story. Someone needs that hope. Can I get an amen? And so we look at this passage now, and it was a total mockery. Jesus was placed on the cross at 9:00 in the morning. This is so, so specific and so purposed by God. Why 9:00 in the morning? It's a signboard stating the charge against him was fastened on his cross as a warning, because Jesus was never found guilty. The only accusation placed on his sign was the crime of calling himself, they said he was calling himself, king of the Jews. Let me just say this. This thing was so corrupt. It was a corrupt, it was a lynch mob come after him. And so, as they were binding him to the cross, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. Look at this. They were nailing him. They were binding him. They were driving nails. They had him on the ground, laying on a cross, beaten and bloodied. And it was a shameful thing to see. But it was 9 o'clock when they were binding him. Now, why is this so specific? And why is this so, prophetic? There he is. This is before they raised him up. They bound him up. So guess what was taking place at the same time on Passover? They were binding up the lamb like they normally do. So as they were binding up their temple sacrifice, they were binding up the Messiah so that he would die for us, that we would be forgiven of our sins. Hallelujah. How significant that was. They bound up this lamb on the Temple Mount. And outside of the temple, on the mountain of Golgotha, they were binding him up at the same time. God purposed that, though, for you and I. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Because we have to look at this one more time, as we did last week. On Passover, he was crucified. Then he was buried in unleavened bread. He had no sin. He rose again on the third day on the Feast of First Fruits. He was the first to rise from the dead. 50 days later, the Holy Ghost is poured out. And the birth of the church took place. And you and I are here because of the ecclesia, the birth of the church. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, everything is all divine, specific in order. It's all purposed by God. It's all prophetically fulfilled in the spring feast. Now we're waiting for the fall feast. So the next greatest event, we don't know what year, but it will take place on the Feast of Trumpets. He's going to fulfill all 7 feasts. Now, when I say feast, it's not a time that we gather to go to a hometown buffet or Golden Corral. Is that what it's called? No. Feast is a divine appointment. That's what it means in Hebrew, mikra, a divine appointment. And listen, so when he scoops us up during the rapture, the next feast was just a few days later, he pours out his wrath on this unbelieving world. And he comes against the governments. He comes against the unbelievers. He comes against the atheists. He comes against the humanists. He comes against the homosexuals. Oh, yeah, he comes against all those things that are ungodly. And he eradicates the earth from it. And we are taken away. We're hid in his pavilion until the indignation has passed. And once it has passed, hallelujah, then we will come with him. Hallelujah. We'll be riding on a horse with him. Hallelujah. And he will set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And we will rule and reign with him. How many can't wait for that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And then We will tabernacle with him. God with us. That's what tabernacle means. God with us. Face to face. We fellowship with him. Hallelujah. Forevermore. Hallelujah. See, right now we have his spirit. So his spirit is a deposit. It's a down payment. In other words, we are purchased by his blood. So he gave us his spirit and says, hold on, I'm coming back for you. Amen. How many can't wait? Because he's coming for you. He's coming for me. I don't care what you're going through right now. Hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Keep going. Keep holding on. Say, God, if you endured the cross, I can endure this life. Amen. Hallelujah. I can keep coming forward, God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let the world take me away from what you have called me to do. And many of us, we're called to win souls. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jews, then to us Gentiles. How many can't wait to see Jesus face to face? I can't wait. Listen, I don't care what he gives us, because when he comes back, he's bringing gifts. He's bringing an award for us. For what? We don't deserve it. But he still says, I'm coming back with my rewards for you. All I'm going to say is, whatever you give me, I'm going to lay them back at your feet, Lord. Lord, I'm not even worthy, oh God. But I want to praise you. I want to glorify you all through eternity, God, for what you've done. Many of us probably were shot at one time. Many of us probably almost OD'd. I remember the days when I was jumped. Oh my God, I could have died. And he saved us. I had to get revived about 4 or 5 times from taking too much dope, and they had to put that shocker on me. God spared me from all that. Can I get an amen? And the way he preserved me, he has preserved you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's divine purpose. God didn't let us die. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't let you die? He didn't let us die in our sin. He saved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, let's just take time right now and just give him praise and worship. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go now to verse 27. And with him they also crucified 2 robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Let me just say this. When you look at it in the natural, it's like, wait a minute. He didn't deserve to die with 2 murderers and thieves and whatever type of sin they were involved in. He had no sin, but he became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. It was God's will that he had to. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But it was prophesied in Isaiah. It was prophesied that it had to be. Look what it says here in Isaiah. It says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Look at that. Here he is on a hideous cross, and a very sinful man on the right and a very sinful man on the left. And yet he had no sin. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, God. And because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgression. I'm gonna do a teaching on this particular verse right here. It says, and he bare the sin of what? Many. Did you catch that? I need you to just say, God, show me what this scripture is saying, that he bare the sin of many. And this is what God showed me. There are people in our life that we know that never gave their life to Jesus. They never did. They died in their sin. But you and I, we are that many he is talking about. Isn't that something? We've been chosen. We've been elected by God. God, hallelujah, before we were formed in our mother's womb, he already saw each and every one of us. And you, I came to die for. Hallelujah. You got to get a hold of it. We didn't die in our sin. He kept us preserved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, we were out there. We were way out there at one time. Running with the worst of them. Yet, he still chose us. And we didn't deserve 1 ounce of this great and mighty salvation. But when God makes a sovereign choice, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, because we are washed now in the blood. sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're heaven bound now with the hell to shun. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So, saints, when James and John had asked Jesus for the places of honor next to him in his kingdom, Jesus had told them that they didn't know what they were asking. Saints of God, let me just say this. I look at this next scripture we're going to read, and God spoke to me clearly. People used to always witness to me before I gave my heart at the age of 30. They would witness, they would give me tracts, and I would want to slap them upside their head. Get out of here. I would mock them, right? But if someone would have said, listen, when you turn at the age of 30, and then when you get to the age of 60, you're going to pastor a church, and you're going to sow into the lives of God's people, and you're going to share and pour out your life so that they would have an opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Word of God, I would have said, you out of your mind. What are you smoking? Jesus told them, are you sure you want to sit on my right and my left? Because there are some things that you're going to have to endure. Look what he says right here in Mark 10:35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and one on the other left in glory. Look how Jesus answered. But Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? Meaning, do you think you're going to be able to endure what I'm just about to ready to endure? My question to us, are you willing to be persecuted by unbelievers? Are you ready to, what if the government comes against the church, are you willing to lay down your life for Christ? We got to have a made up mind and say, you know what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. We got to have the same mindset he did when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane and he was pouring out sweat and blood. And he said, Father, if there's another way, let it be so. But he said, he came to himself. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Can we have a made up mind like Christ saying, not our will, but thy will be done, saints? Look at this. In verse 39, they said to him, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism, I am baptized with you, will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it's for those whom it is prepared. Hallelujah. God has prepared each and every one of us that we would sit up there with him. Not on his throne, but all the seats around him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's not what we did, it's what he did for us. He saved us and washed us. He cleansed us. He bought us back with his blood. And he took us out from the devil's hands. The devil wanted to take us out. He wanted to kill every one of us. He lied to us from the get-go. But God came and he found us. He searched for us. He found us and he saved us. How many are so blessed to know that we are saved? Hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb. So let me just say this, saints. We may not know what true persecution is, especially like those in the Middle East that lost their heads because they believed in the Lord. Be ready, saints. Be ready in season, out of season. This is why time is running out and we need to reach souls. Can I get amen? We need to raise them up. We need to preach the gospel. We need to share. We need to say, God is coming soon. Get your life right or be left behind. We have to tell them the truth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Tell them the truth, saints of God, and God will bless you for telling the truth. We can't water down the gospel. We can't just say, hey, it's okay. God understands. God loves you. Yeah. And they remain in their sin. We have to tell them, repent. Turn to the one that can save you. And watch them do the miraculous. Amen. Let's move on for time's sake. In verse 29 in Mark chapter 15, it says, and those who passed by blaspheming and wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross. They actually thought that the temple mount was going to be physically destroyed. He was talking about his temple. Because you and I, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? And he was saying, yeah, I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to die for 3 days and come up again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because this is how they heard. And Jesus even said, he said it for himself. Back in chapter 14, he says, when he heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. Let me just say this, saints. The new body that God is building for us is coming from heaven. It's not coming down from earth here. See, we were born and shapen in iniquity. And we still have a sinful nature. The new body is not going to be built down here with human hands. We're not going to need a man and a woman to come and procreate the world no more. We're going to have a new body that comes from heaven, and it's going to be just like Jesus. Hallelujah. We will never die again. We don't have to worry about diabetes and cancer and all these other things, these dreadful diseases. Why? Because we're still living in this sinful body. It's still laden with sin. Man, how many times have you got into your prayer closet, man, and you go, Lord Jesus, man, I worship you, pray. And then these sinful thoughts come out of nowhere. Then the dog starts barking, man, and then you start getting sleepy. And oh, come on, we've all been there. We've all done that, hug. Can I get amen? Because we're still living in a body of sin. So with the new body, hallelujah, we're going to, boom, appear, and then boom, disappear. Hallelujah. We're going to have a body like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I can't wait. This one's failing me. I need that new one. So now, let's go to verse 31 as we're coming in for a close. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking him among themselves with the scribes and said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. I want you to catch that last phrase, what this high priest, this religious leader said. He said, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. This is what the world is all about. They'll say, you know what? I'll believe it when I see it. Jesus told us, hallelujah, to walk by faith and not by sight. Can I get an amen? Because our eternal life is predicated on faith in Christ. So, listen, have you ever met Jesus face to face? No. We have a spirit, but we haven't seen him face to face. Yet, we still believe. Can I get amen? And we never met the man. Now, that takes a whole lot of faith to believe on someone that we've never seen, but yet we believe on his name. The Bible says, just believing on his name brings salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But these guys, they weren't going to believe anything unless they saw it. Well, guess what? They're probably into eternity right now. Man, cooking with the worms. Where the worm dieth not. Roasting in the flames of hell. Even those who were crucified him reviled him. My goodness, saints. This was the Messiah. My goodness. Hallelujah. They were being blasphemed. Look how Luke portrays this. He says it like this. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, this is a guy next to him who's about ready to die himself. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, he rebuked the other criminal, saying, do you not even fear God? God was given this criminal, like God gave us, a mind to be saved, a heart of repentance. My goodness. Right now, that man that was about to die repented. And he was humbled on the cross. And the other one was still proud like a peacock. This is why Jesus talks about the wheat and the tare. Because when they're growing together, they look just like one another. They look like grains of wheat. Except when the wheat gets in full bloom, the weight of the wheat causes it to bow. And the tare is still upright, proud as a peacock. That's why Jesus said in the church, there's wheat and there's tare. But guess what? We're not to decipher that. God, let God separate it. Can I get an amen? Yes. Amen. We can't be judging someone. And there's some people, I get it. They just don't get stuff sometimes, right? But that doesn't take away their salvation. And there's some that will say, you're not saved. Come on. Okay, you leader, are you the one that went to the cross and died for them? Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Let God be God. Right. Hallelujah. Work your salvation out with fear and trembling. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, it's a one-on-one salvation. Look at this though. That one just like, he rebuked the criminal. That's man, I'm telling you. No, I don't want to go there. Let's finish this up. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He was confessing, man. Wait, come on, man. You know we murdered. You know we sinned. This is our just reward. He was telling the other one, man, come on. This man didn't do anything. And he said, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. So saints of God, from that act of grace and mercy, salvation came to this world. Can I get an amen? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. And so all the writers wrote down the grace of God, the mercy of God. I could write all kinds of stuff tonight, but I'm going to leave us with just a few, and then we close. Look at what it says here in Romans 9:13, that if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That was the criminal on the cross that rebuked the other one. Said, man, we deserve, but oh, Jesus, have mercy. God gave us that mind to cry out for mercy. Hallelujah. For with the one heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. That one thief next to him wasn't put to shame. Jesus says, from this day on, we will be in paradise. Hallelujah. Man, oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you that he didn't put stipulations on us. Can I get an amen? Because none of us deserve to be saved. And yet he died for our wicked ways. Hallelujah. There's no greater God than the Lord Jesus that came and died for us. Can I get an amen? For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Praise God. Hallelujah. He loves us both. Look at this. For the same Lord is over all, rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? And so Peter got a hold of this when the Holy Ghost was poured out in Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, what? See, people think, oh, all I got to do is just say a little simple prayer and I can go home. And then they go home and still live like the devil because they never repented. They never truly turned to him and said, I don't want this lifestyle anymore. I don't want these drugs. I don't want this pride. I don't want all, Lord, I want you. Amen. Jesus said, come as you are. And when you come like you are, then he will take, let him take the junk off you. Hallelujah. But you know what we do? We cut so deep, man, and we leave them there to bleed, and they're bleeding to death because all we did was just pour out our mouth on them. Let God save them. And when God truly saves us, man, we start walking, hallelujah, because of what he did for us. The righteousness of Christ. We've been washed in the blood. Look at this. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the what? Remission means forgiveness of sins. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say I'll text you maybe. I'll Facebook you. I'll Instagram you. No. He says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children. And to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. You need to believe one thing, saints of God. He saved us. He's going to save our children. Hallelujah. He's going to save our grandchildren. Can I get an amen? You got to believe it and receive it and just say, Lord, I'm going to believe your promises that they are going to be saved too. Hallelujah. You got to believe that. Somebody prayed for us. Someone didn't stop praying for us, and we got saved by God's grace. And look at this, last scripture. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Hallelujah, he died and rose again for us. Therefore, he says, repent, therefore, and be converted. See, you can't be converted without repentance. It's repent first. Therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. Hallelujah. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give them glory right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Saints of God, there might be somebody listening right now. Maybe someone said, hey, go to this message. I think God has a word for you. We need to believe that when the word of God is spoken, that it will not come back void. It's sent forth to do its purpose, and that God will give those who need ears to hear and eyes to see, and God will bring them in by faith. And if you're listening to this message, we want to pray with you. But it first starts with repentance. I don't care what you're involved in. Maybe you grew up morally sound in a religious home. Never did the things that we once were involved. But the Bible says you still need to be saved. And you still need to give your heart to Jesus. And you still need your sins washed by the blood of the Lamb. So thank you, Lord, for going past our ideology. You go to the heart of the matter. You reach down into the heart of man. And it is you and you alone, Jesus, that gives a man and a woman and a child a heart to repent and a mind to be saved. And if that's you, God is saying, no matter what you're involved in, it doesn't matter. Let go and let God. Turn to the Lord Jesus. Tell him to deliver you from that thing. Tell him to help you, and he will. God is faithful. God is just. God is merciful. God is gracious. So if you're listening to this message, pray with us right now. We want to pray with you. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. Oh God, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Saints of God, give Jesus a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We glorify you, God. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.